Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 31, titled The Disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna, Text 6. Lokabhiramam satanum dharana jana mangalam yoga dharana yagneya dagga dhamma visatsvakam. Loka, to all the worlds, Abhiramam, most attractive, Svatanum, his own transcendental body, Dharana, of all trance, Jhana, and meditation, Mangalam, the auspicious object. Yoga Dharanaya. By mystic trance. Agneya. Focused on fire. Adagva. Without burning. Dharma. The abode. Avisat. He entered. His own. Does anyone have any tissues? If you can get some. Thank you. Translation and purport by the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Without employing the mystic Agni meditation to burn up his transcendental body, which is the all-attractive resting place of all the worlds and the object of all contemplation and meditation, Lord Krishna entered into his own abode. Please repeat. Without employing the mystic Agni meditation to burn up his transcendental body, which is the all-attractive resting place of all the worlds and the object of all contemplation
and meditation.
Lord Krishna
entered into his own abode.
Purport, a yogi empowered to select the moment of leaving his body can cause it to burst into flames by engaging in the yogic meditation called Agni. And thus he passes into his next life. The demigods similarly employ this mystic fire when being transferred to the spiritual world. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely different from conditioned souls like yogis and demigods, since the Lord's eternal spiritual body is the source of all existence, as indicated here by the words Lokabhiramam Svatanum. Lord Krishna's body is the source of pleasure for the entire universe. The word dharana, jhana mangalam, indicates that those trying for spiritual elevation through meditation and yoga achieve all auspiciousness through meditation on the Lord's body. Since yogis are liberated simply by thinking of Lord Krishna's body, that body is certainly not material and therefore not subject to burning by mundane mystic fire or any other type of fire. Translation, without employing the mystic... Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reminds us of Lord Krishna's statement in the 11th canto, chapter 14, verse 37.
Vani majje smare drupam mamaita jana mangalam.
Within the fire, one should meditate upon my form, which is the auspicious object of all meditation. Since Lord Krishna's transcendental form is present within fire as the maintaining principle, how can fire affect that form? Thus, although the Lord appeared to enter the mystic yoga trance, the word adagva indicates that the Lord, since his body is purely spiritual, bypassed the formality. Thank you. Bypassed the formality of burning and directly entered his own abode in the spiritual sky. This point has also been elaborately explained by Srila Jiva Goswami in his commentary to this verse. Translation. Without employing the mystic Agni meditation to burn up his transcendental body, which is the all-attractive resting place of all the worlds and the object of all contemplation and meditation, Lord Krishna entered into his own body. Omagyana Charandasya Gyanjana Salakaya Chakcha Umvatandina Tasmai Shri Garavena Maha Mukham Garati Vachalam Pangam Manga Tegarim Yat Kripa Samahamande Shri Guru Nijalina Charanam Sinvatam Sakata Krishna Punishavana Kitana Vidyantasto Vibhadrani Vidinoti Saritsita Nasar Presho Bhadrasho Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutamasloke Bhakti Bhavati Nasitaki. Translation once again. Without employing the mystic Agni meditation to burn up his transcendental body, which is the all-attractive resting place of all the worlds and the object of all contemplation and meditation, Lord Krishna entered into his own abode. So the yogis, a lot of these mystic yogis in the universe, they have very great powers to be able to choose when they can leave this body and where they go to in their next life. And they, according to their will, they can burn up their body in this mystic fire called Agni through their yogic meditation and pass into the next life, into higher realms, higher abodes. We see that picture. See that picture in the Bhagavad Gita of the yogi meditating in the Himalayan mountains. And he's like, at the end of his life, his soul is leaving through the Brahmarandram, through the top part of the skull, and he's going to higher abodes. Sometimes when we show the Bhagavad Gita to people on book distribution, we say to them, so what do you do for a job? And they say, well, I'm a lawyer, or whatever they say. We say, this guy here used to be a lawyer in Melbourne. And some of them actually believe you. Slap them on the back, hey, I'm only joking. These guys have been sitting here for thousands of years in the Himalayas. But it's not a type of meditation recommended for the general populace. Very austere, very disciplined, very much control of the mind and the senses, no sense gratification whatsoever. Definitely no pakoras and halava and puris and sabji. They live on air and maybe a little bit of water and whatever leaves and whatever comes around to them. So it's very very materially elevated type of yoga or meditation, and they definitely achieve higher planets, heavenly planets. But still, it's a material process. And as stated here by Vridhananda Maharaj, they're still conditioned souls. He says, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely different from conditioned souls like yogis and demigods. So they're not, these yogis are not considered liberated souls. Even the demigods, they're not considered. It's quite rare even for the demigods to be liberated souls, to be Krishna conscious souls. Even the demigods, on the most part, they have material desires, they're caught up in material enjoyment, even though it's very refined, very elevated. They drink soma rasa. There's no gross sense gratification, but there's a lot of subtle sense gratification. So they're conditioned souls because everyone except the devotees has personal motivations. And it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakalaya Santa. Bhukti, those who want material sense gratification. Mukti, those who want liberation. Become one with the Lord. Siddhi Kami, like the yogis here, those who want mystic perfections. This, is it six or eight mystic perfections? Eight mystic perfections. So they can become smaller than the smallest, they can become larger than the largest. They can enter into the sun, they can create a planet, they can destroy a planet, they can control people's minds, they can bring things from anywhere and everywhere. Just like, wasn't it, Prabhupada told a story of some yogi when he was young? No, just by his mystic powers he bought some pomegranates or mangoes from some distant place for his disciples. So they have these different powers, but it's still based on selfish desire, even though it may be subtle. So bhukti mukti siddhi kama sakale ashanta, they cannot be peaceful and happy because they're selfish, because their lives are based on sense gratification. But says Krishna Bhakta, Naishkama, Aitavishanta. The Krishna Bhakta, the devotee of the Lord, Naishkama, because he has no desires for his own sense gratification. He only desires to please Krishna and love Krishna and serve Krishna and glorify Krishna. Sakale Ashanta. Then he can be peaceful. Krishna Bhakta, Naishkama. Was that Bhakti Murti Siddhi Kama? Sakalaya Santa. Krishna Bhakti Nais Kama. Aitavi Santa. That he's the only one who can be actually peaceful and happy. And even the great yogis, unless they're Krishna conscious, they're conditioned souls because they're subject to imperfections. Subject to imperfect senses, subject to illusion, subject to committing mistakes, and subject to the cheating propensity. Brahma, Pramada, Vipra, Lipsa, Karana, Patava. These four defects are common to all conditioned souls. So the conditioned soul is subject to illusion because he takes the body to be his self. Or even if he's not identifying with the body, like maybe some of the yogis, they're thinking, they are some great elevated soul and they don't care for God, they want to be the center of attention, they want to have so much control in the universe. So they're taking themselves to be the controller. Prabhupada said, this is the disease of the material world. We take ourselves to be the controller and the enjoyer. So we're subject to illusion, We have imperfect senses, like even the yogis, they may have so many powers, but still they can't ascertain the absolute truth because they have impure hearts. It says in Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, Aruya Kritcharena Paramadam Tata Patantyato Nadrita Yusmat Angrayam, that even though the impersonalists, they may go and achieve impersonal liberation, they fall down once again after a long period of time because they have no regard for the lotus feet of Krishna. They cannot maintain that position. So we have imperfect senses. Unless one is a Krishna conscious devotee, he cannot understand real religious principles. Real religious principles, Dana, Tu, Shakshat, Bhagavat, Pranitam, are enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And he has his representatives, Mahajans, who they disseminate the real religious principles. Sayambhu Narada Sambhu Kormara Kapila Manu Kalaru Janako Bhijmo Bali Vayasiki Vayam. So there's Sayambhu Manu, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, four Kumaras. Can anyone else name some? Bhishmadev, Yamaraj, Janakaraj, Kapila,
Janakaraj,
he said Janakaraj, Sukadeva Goswami, Prahlad Maharaj, no, Vyasadeva is not, he's not listening. Yeah. So these are the 12 Mahajans who know the real religious principles. So unless one is a great devotee of the Lord, then he cannot ascertain religious principles or what is the actual purpose of life, which is to develop pure love for Krishna, become a fully Krishna conscious soul and get out of this material world and go back to the spiritual world. See, even the great yogis and most of the demigods, they cannot ascertain actually what is the real purpose of life. So they're still conditioned souls. And as long as we're not pure devotees of the Lord, then we still have so many conditionings. So we talked about the different frailties, the committing mistakes. Like Srila Prabhupada said, even great politicians like Gandhi, very famous personality, but he committed a mistake. He was warned by his advisors not to go to this meeting. He could meet his death. He didn't listen, and he went and he was shot dead. And was subject to cheating propensity. Like Srila Prabhupada says, the businessman or a shopkeeper is saying, for you I make no profit. But we can understand he's making 200%, 300% profit on his goods. Subject to illusion, we're taking the body to be the self. We take a mirage in the desert to be water. Like Prabhupada says, the animals, they run towards the mirage in the desert, thinking it's water, but it's just a mirage, and they die. Imperfect senses. Like even animals have greater abilities than us, like dogs, they can hear from miles away. How much ability do we have to hear, you know, even a few hundred metres? Or the vultures, they can see their prey in the sky for miles up. But how far can we see with our eyes? So, it may be a great material ability to be able to burst the body into flames and leave according to your desire at the time you want and go to the planet that you want. But according to Bhagavatam, you're still a conditioned soul if you don't engage in devotional service to Krishna. But here, Vridharadhana Maharaj is saying that Lord Krishna's body is completely different from conditioned souls like the yogis and demigods. since the Lord's eternal spiritual body is the source of all existence. Lord Krishna's body is the source of pleasure for the entire universe. Krishna's called, his name is Krishna, meaning all attractive. He's attractive to all conditioned souls and all liberated souls since time immemorial. Everyone's attracted to Krishna. Maybe in our conditioned state that attraction is covered, it's lying dormant, but when one gets the opportunity to engage in devotional service and the opportunity to hear the holy names of the Lord chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we get the opportunity to see the beautiful deity forms of the Lord and hear the wonderful narration about the Lord's pastimes and engage in Krishna's service and associate with his devotees, naturally that dormant attraction and love for Krishna will come out. Even that, you know, we see that most conditioned souls in this age of Kali, completely addicted to sinful activity, they're attracted to Krishna. Last night we went out late, we did a Harinam. We were meant to leave about 7:30, we ended up leaving at 9 o'clock due to the ecstatic enthusiasm of the young devotees here. We went down to St Kilda and the streets were a little bit quiet, so we went around to one hotel and there was quite a few people there and we were dancing and chanting there for like at least half an hour, and many of them were like dancing along with us and putting their arms up. Some of them were chanting. They were attracted by the chanting and dancing of the holy name, which is not different from Krishna. Krishna's appearing in the form of his holy name in this Kali Yuga. It's one of his incarnations, most merciful incarnation. So if the conditioned souls, even the most sinful conditioned souls of Kali Yuga, are attracted, many of them are attracted to Prasadam, right? They come to the temple and they come to the restaurants. So even if the conditioned souls are attracted, what to speak of the liberated souls? So Krishna is all attractive because he's full of all opulences. The Lord Krishna has all beauty. His beauty is beyond compare. He has all strength, all knowledge, all wealth, all fame, and all renunciation to an unlimited degree. So that's why he's called Krishna or Bhagavan. There may be some souls in this world who have some great beauty, or strength, or fame, but it doesn't last. They have it for 10, 20 years, and they get old, and they die, and soon they're forgotten about it. But Krishna, even he has his qualities, his opulences are so attractive that even he's more attractive than all in other incarnations. Like all the different Vishnu incarnations, they had 60 qualities, but Krishna has 64 qualities. He has four qualities which are even much more attractive than any Vishnu incarnation. Can anyone name four qualities?
Plays the flute.
Plays the flute. So he's attracting all living entities throughout the universe by his flute playing. Someone else? Always surrounded by loving devotees. Yes. Two more. His beauty is beyond comparison. And what's the last one? Pastimes. He always performs super excellent pastimes. You can read the pastimes of Lord Ram and the Srinath, and they're very wonderful. But Lord Krishna's pastimes are even much more wonderful. And, you know, there's a much larger section in the Bhagavatam on Krishna's pastimes than any other incarnation. So Krishna is the source of pleasure for the entire universe. And it states here that Those trying for spiritual elevation through meditation and yoga achieve all auspiciousness through meditation on the Lord's body. The yogis who think of Lord Krishna's body are liberated. So if we can, as stated here, if the yogis are liberated simply by thinking of Lord Krishna's body, Krishna's body must certainly not be material and not subject to burning up by mundane mystic fire. If Krishna's body was ordinary, was a material body, then how could we get liberated by thinking of Krishna's transcendental body? Can we get liberation by thinking of the Queen or Bill Gates or Marilyn Monroe? No, we don't gain any spiritual benefit by thinking of these personalities. But by meditating on Lord Krishna's body and thinking of the form of our spiritual master and the instructions of Krishna and the spiritual master, then we can actually attain liberation. And what is real liberation? Real liberation means to become Krishna conscious. To be always thinking of Krishna, never forgetting Krishna, and to always be engaged in Krishna's service. Free from all material motivations for fruitive desires and sense gratification. So this is real liberation. So it says in the scriptures, this one verse says, Iha yasha le dashi. Kamana manasagira nikala sapya vastustu jivan mukta uchitam. The person who has engaged his mind, his body, and his words in the service of Krishna is considered a liberated soul even while living in this material body, in this material world. So even before going back to the spiritual world, he's already considered a liberated soul. So a devotee, whether he goes back to the spiritual world, or even if he has to go to hell or to heaven, he's always engaged in serving Krishna. And even like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed, "My Lord, even if you want me to take birth in a family of, even as an insignificant insect, I pray that it may be in the family of your devotees, so that he can get the association of the devotees." Because the association of devotees is considered the most auspicious thing in the universe. Because by the association of devotees, we get Krishna, we get the mercy of Krishna. We get inspired by being in the association of wonderful examples of wonderful devotees and seeing how dedicated and pure-hearted they are and how surrendered they are to Krishna. So we see with what, like even one pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada is liberating the whole universe. Even it says the demigods are lining up to take birth in this planet, take part in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, which were spread all around the world by Srila Prabhupada. One man, one pure devotee. It's like a moon in the sky. Thousands of ordinary conditioned souls are just like stars in the sky. They can't do anything. But one bright moon can light up the whole sky. So we see, just because of the purity and the Krishna consciousness of Srila Prabhupada, now there's thousands and thousands of devotees all around the world. And millions of people getting in contact with Krishna consciousness. So, by meditation and yoga upon the Lord's body, then we can achieve all auspiciousness. We can achieve real liberation. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma kama cha medigam evam vachitapata chakpadeham punajanma nayatimam eti sojana. One who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities does not, upon leaving this material body, take birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So that's why Srila Prabhupada gave us all these wonderful books about Krishna, about his pastimes, about his qualities, about his transcendental incarnations, his forms, like, you know, especially books like Krishna Book, Srimad Bhagavatam. We can hear directly the pastimes of the Lord and his associates and his parents and his cowherd boyfriends and cowherd girlfriends and the animals, which pastimes that he enacted in Vrindavan, and also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Mayapur. These pastimes are non-different from the spiritual world. They're replicas of the spiritual world. So we're amazingly fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us these wonderful literatures, so daily we can hear the Lord's pastimes and meditate upon these pastimes and his qualities. And when we become purified by understanding the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes and his birth and his disappearance, here we're hearing about Lord Krishna's disappearance. His disappearance also is not ordinary, although conditioned souls may think that, well, you know, the Lord was shot in the foot by a hunter and he left this world, he died. So this is just to befool the materialistic non-devotees. But actually, in a previous verse, we were reading how the arrow didn't actually pierce the Lord's foot. It only just touched the Lord's foot, because the Lord's foot is not material. It's transcendental. It can't be pierced by any weapons. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nainam chintanti shastrini nainam tahati pavaka nachayanam klantiya nachayanam. The soul cannot be cut to pieces by weapons, nor burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the winds. So if the soul, the individual soul, is not affected by these qualities, what to speak of the Supreme Soul, Krishna? So, definitely because Krishna's body is absolute and free from all defects and fully transcendental and spiritual, completely made of eternity, knowledge and bliss, then it can't be affected by any mundane quality, like here, mundane mystic fire. Even mystic fire may seem very amazing. Has anyone seen mystic fire? Probably if we saw it, we'd be pretty amazed. Materially speaking, it must be very wonderful. And seeing a yogi being consumed in a mystic fire and attaining a higher destination, though the higher abodes in this universe, would be a very wonderful sight to see materially. But spiritually, it's nothing. It's just like a little drop. It's insignificant. Krishna says, 10th chapter, Yad Yad Vibhuta Mat Satyam Srimad Vajitam Evava, says that know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations, they spring from but a spark of my splendor. So if all these universes and all the wonderful things within these universes, just like a spark of Krishna's splendor, may imagine the spiritual world, how beautiful and attractive and wonderful it must be. This material world is just like a little dot in the whole creation. The spiritual world is like the whole sky. Material creation is like a little cloud in the sky. And like Srila Prabhupada was trying to humble one of his devotees in Los Angeles, and he said, no, the material universe creation is just like a little cloud in the corner of the sky. And where in one universe it's considered a very small universe, Lord Brahma only has four heads in this universe. In other universes he has 100, 1,000, 1,000,000, 10,000,000, billion heads. So we're in a very small universe, and in this universe there's millions of billions of planets. And out of all the planets, we're in this one Earth planet, which is very small. And we're in one country, America, which is only a small part of the whole landmass. And in this whole big country, America, we're in one state, California, which is only a small part of the whole country. And we're in one city, Los Angeles, like a little dot on the map of America. And there's hundreds of suburbs. We're in one suburb here. And we're out of hundreds of streets in the suburb, we're in one street. Prabhupada said, here is Kamal Krishna Maharaj, thinking that he's very important. So Kamal Krishna Maharaj submitted and felt very humbled by Srila Prabhupada's spiritual transcendental knowledge. So by this example we can see that we're very insignificant. But still, if we grab onto the lotus feet of Krishna and the spiritual master, then we can achieve wonderful things in the service of Krishna. Like, again, Srila Prabhupada, look at how many amazing things he achieved in this Kali Yuga. He created a whole transcendental Sangatan movement that's spreading all around the world, will spread for the next 10,000 years. He opened 108 temples, so many farms and schools, and printed millions of books, disseminated them all around the world. So it's like a little boy riding on his push bike. He can only go maybe 20, 30 miles an hour. But if he ties his push bike to the back of a truck, then he can go like 100 miles an hour, 150 miles an hour. So if we tie ourselves to the lotus feet of Krishna and Guru, then, and we're trying to be a pure instrument in their hands, then we can achieve amazing things in helping the Lord and our spiritual master to spread Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada always stressed the importance of his transcendental literatures, the importance of the devotees reading them, absorbing ourselves in these wonderful instructions and hearing the pastimes of the Lord, how we can become very purified and very fixed in Krishna consciousness by hearing his philosophy and hearing the pastimes of the Lord. He even told the devotees, even if people read one page or one line or one word, they'll be immensely, eternally benefited. So what to speak if we read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam with a pure state of consciousness. And we have so many books, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Krishna book. We have to read all these books. And also distribute these books and bring thousands of other people in touch with Krishna consciousness. Maybe many of them will never come to the temple in this life, but if they get one of Srila Prabhupada's books and they put it nicely on their bookshelf at home, Srila Prabhupada said they're unknowingly performing deity worship. These books are non-different from Krishna. It says in the first canto, Krishna style Dhamma Pagati, Dhamma Gyana Dibisaha, Kalo Nasadri Shambhika, Puranika Dhanodita. The Srimad Bhagavatam, which has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna for his own abode, accompanied by knowledge and religion, etc., will get light from this Srimad Bhagavatam. So even those in the dense darkness of the age of Kali shall get light from this Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's actually an incarnation of Krishna, especially for this age of Kali. So no, we can put these books on our altar and worship them as deities. And if people respectfully place these books in their bookshelf, they're like transcendental time bombs, they're ticking away, purifying the consciousness of people in that house. One day those people will pick up the book and they'll be completely, their material lives will be shattered. They'll become very attracted to hearing this amazing philosophy and hearing these amazing pastimes. Like some people, they testify when they started reading these books. You know, sometimes they had them for years or months before they started to read them, and once they started reading them, they couldn't put them down. So we have to give people a chance to get these transcendental literatures, and Krishna is providing us many opportunities. Just like Aravind, he's always distributing books wherever he goes at the temple. Apparently he's, you know, getting many people to take books, and sometimes he's been travelling with his dad, Sodaseva, and they distribute books together. So this is a wonderful example. Even young children can distribute these books and preach Krishna consciousness. And probably Aravind can testify, and Sadaseva, that, you know, you have so many wonderful experiences, right? When you go out and you have sincerely endeavour to preach and distribute these books, then Krishna makes so many amazing arrangements to bring people to take these books, isn't it? Just the other day I was doing books in Ocean Grove, Bowen Heads, near Geelong. I was going shop to shop, and first few shops people weren't really interested, and then I came to the news agent, and there were about four ladies working there, and most of them, they were not interested. And anyway, the one lady came out and she said, "Oh, just can you give me a few minutes? I really want to get some of those books. I just have to move my car." So she came back after a few minutes. She was actually the owner. And I had like Bhagavad Gita, Science of Civilization, different philosophy books of Srila Prabhupada's and Korma's cookbooks. And she said, "I want to get them all for myself to read, and I want to get them for the shop as well." And she bought like more than $400 worth of books. And she said, "Yeah." So she said, "That was in Bowen. That was in Bowen Heads. It's only a small little. If you've ever been there, it's only a small little town." I was even thinking of bypassing it and going straight to Ocean Grove, but somehow Krishna inspired me to like stop there and do the shops thing. And she said she used to go to the restaurant for years when she was at university in Melbourne. She hasn't been for years. And she was like really enlightened to get all the books. And I said to her, "You know, do you want to do it as a service?" Like, she was taking the books to the shop. "Do you want to do it as a service or do you want to make some money?" And she said, "Well, I'll just make some profit on the cookbooks. All the rest you can just sell to me for like retail price, you know." And I gave her some prasad and she was very happy. We cooked some halva and down the farm, and she got some halva and right at Balda's sandesh. And then there was another lady down the road, an organic shop, and she bought a Bhagavad Gita and a Korma's cookbook. And then there was another lady in a restaurant, and she said she used to be the girlfriend of Atmaram's brother. Atmaram was like the temple president in Sydney for many years. So she said she used to be the girlfriend of his brother. She came from the same town, Portland. And she said when Atmaram joined in the mid-70s, there was like big stir in the whole town. Like everyone was talking about it in the whole town. And she remembers the day he joined. And so she took a, Bhagavad Gita and Korma's cookbook, Science Civilization, gave like, $75. And then there was another guy at the end of the day I went to Ocean Grove, and I was just doing a few shops at the end of the day, and I hardly had any books left because that news agent took most of them. And I just had like one Korma's cookbook left, a couple of Bhagavad Gita's, Krishna book. And I went into this tattoo shop. Normally, you go into a tattoo shop and you think, these guys are pretty gross, they look pretty gross. And their bodies are like covered with tattoos. And I showed him the Bhagavad Gita and he said, "Mate, I don't read." And I said, "Well, that's why we've got the pictures, Pictures tell 1,000 words. And I said, "Hey, you've got one arm free, there's no tattoos on that arm. You could fill it up with these nice pictures." And then he kept like looking at the pictures and he was like thinking, "Wow, these are amazing pictures." And then he saw the cookbook and he said, "Hey, my wife's a vegetarian." So he ended up like, he was going to get the Bhagavad Gita and the Korma's cookbook, and I said, he was going to give that $60, and then I said, "Well, if you give $80 or $100, you can have the Bhagavad Gita, the Korma's cookbook, and the Krishna book." So he gave $100. And then I gave him a whole lot of small books. So we just don't know who's going to get the mercy of Krishna. I was telling the devotees at the farm, I met many butchers, and they've taken books in Mwilumbah, the local town where New Govardhan is. I was going shop to shop there, and many people were saying, oh, I already know about Krishna, I've been to the farm so many times. Like, you know, a lot of pseudo-spiritualists, so, you know, I don't need anything else. And then I went into the butcher shop, and I was thinking, you know, I was praying to Krishna, please, you know, engage these people that know, look what they're doing, you know. They really need the mercy. And the lady behind the counter, she like, with blood-stained hands, she took the Krishna book, gave like $20. And then I turned around and there was people lining up, and I showed the lady behind, and she took a Krishna book as well. And then one time I was in Sydney, I was out near the BBT, and I just parked in the main street of the little town there, and I was actually outside the butcher shop, and I was in my robes, and I had my van, and it's got like the Hare Krishna signs, chant Hare Krishna, be happy on the sign. And the guy came out from the butcher shop and he said, hey, you're with the Hare Krishnas. I used to go to your farm, because the farm used to be out there. I used to go to your farm for the feast. Have you got any vegetarian cookbooks? So the butcher bought a vegetarian cookbook. I think he took it and well wish her as well. Another time I was in one town and we're doing shop to shop, I was with one Indian boy from Sydney Barrett. And as soon as we walked into the butcher shop, he said, I'm not going in there. He turned around and went out and said, hang on, Barak, you know, they're all conditioned souls, they're all servants of Krishna, anyone can take a book. And so he said, no, I'm not going. And I went in there and the guy bought a book, the manager. And I came out and I said, Barak, look, he just took a book. And he was amazed, he couldn't believe that such people could take Chilapapa's books. So Prabhupada wanted everyone as much as possible to the devotee as much as possible to be engaged in this preaching mission. So go out and through the books, go out and Harinam Sangatam party. I think last week, you know, you did Harinam nearly every day, wasn't it? Missed maybe one day. So join in for these wonderful preaching opportunities. And prasadam distribution, many of you are engaged in crossways, gopals, distributing prasadam at the temple. You're giving the mercy, Krishna prasad, to thousands of people every week. So the whole city of Melbourne is becoming liberated, is becoming gradually favourable to Krishna consciousness. You see many people when you go out in the streets chanting, dancing, many people they love to see the devotees because they're very used to us and they become purified by hearing the holy name and getting prasadam over and over again. And so many people last night were waving at us and some people even going like this to us. And we even went into like one cafe and we were like, what was it? 7-Eleven? What was it?
It was like an ice cream shop.
We went into the ice cream shop and were dancing around. And there was one pub, they invited us in to dance in the pub, and the people working in the pub were dancing with us. And then we went up to the backpackers, and there was like, must have been about 50 backpackers there, all standing around. And we like just went right in there, we didn't ask them, we went right in there. And we were just chanting and dancing for like 20 minutes, half an hour, and they didn't say anything, they were like just all watching us. And so, many places we can take Krishna's mercy to. So I'll just read the verse again, see if anyone has any questions. Without employing the mystic Agni meditation to burn up his transcendental body, which is the all-attractive resting place of all the worlds, and the object of all contemplation and meditation, Lord Krishna enters into his own abode. Anyone have any questions or comments? Yes. The more you become Krishna conscious, then the more you'll develop these qualities. Compassion is one of them. one of the transcendental Vaishnava qualities. It says in the fifth canto, Yashasti Bhakti Bhagavati Yakinchana, Vaigunas Tatra Samasate Sara. One who has unflinching devotion to Krishna, automatically he develops all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. So, compassion, renunciation, truthfulness, knowledge, wisdom, and ultimately love of Krishna. And one who has love for Krishna, he loves all living entities. And so when we go out and we see these living entities, how much they're suffering because of forgetfulness of Krishna, then naturally the devotee feels very sorry for them and he wants to give them the supreme mercy. So he's under the direction of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and his representatives are directing us to go out as much as possible and give out Krishna in the form of the books and prasadam and the holy name. These are the most powerful ways we can preach and attract people. So we have to be determined and enthusiastic and confident that this Rupa Goswami says, you know, the six things favourable for advancing Krishna consciousness: enthusiasm, determination, confidence, not being greedy for mundane achievement, giving up association of worldly minded people, and following the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. So we have to be very enthusiastic, determined, confident that this is what people really need, and properly following in your own Krishna consciousness. And you have to be bold. You have to be like, not fearful of people's rejection or people's conditioned state that they're going to say no. No, because for so many people who say no, so many people will say yes and want the mercy. So you have to be very bold. Like Srila Prabhupada, he came in the height of Kali Yuga, a place like New York, and he started the whole movement. He was very bold, preaching to the drug addicts and the hippies. And so, in practice, we have to practice. If you go out regularly preaching, then you'll become thick-skinned. You won't be affected by what people say or what they do. And you'll be in the mood of always praying to your spiritual master and Krishna to help you be an instrument in their service to give people a mercy. And like we just told some stories, Krishna will make many amazing things happen. So it doesn't matter whether we're doing big preaching or little preaching. Everyone knows the story of Hanuman and the spider. So even if we're just a little preacher, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was very, very happy even if his preachers came back, some of his preachers came back and just distributed one magazine in the whole day. So we may go out and we may only do one or two or a few books, but Krishna sees the endeavour. Endeavour is the perfection. So I remember to my Krishna Maharaj, he said, don't be attached to the result, be just attached to the service. And automatically, by being attached to your service, the result will be big. Whether the result comes in the form of lots of books being distributed, or lots of prasadam, or temple being opened. But the most important result is purification of our heart. Whether we do lots of books or little books, or do lots of preaching or a little bit of preaching, the main result is our heart has to become purified. And if you keep practicing, practice makes perfect. If you go out and preach regularly, then you become better at convincing people and telling, giving them the right things to say. Krishna will inspire you from within the heart, the right things to say at the right time to convince them to take these books. And try and go out with other devotees. You feel much more confidence and enthusiasm when you go with other devotees. It may be difficult to go by yourself. So, and if you're finding it difficult, or if you haven't done much preaching, then just go out with other devotees and watch them, or assist them, open the boxes for them, or give out cards while you're watching the devotees distribute the books. There was a story in the early days in Brisbane. The devotees were distributing books, And some of them were distributing so many books that they had other devotees just going back and forth to the cars to get new boxes of books and open them for the other devotees to distribute. And even apparently the police were helping the devotees like bring the boxes from the cars. So if we can get the police to do this, then we know that we're making progress. Anyone else have any questions? Realizations?
You were talking about how the very association is the most auspicious thing in the universe. It's very hard to appreciate that because we get it so easily, we take it for granted. So how can we always remind ourselves that actually we're not that special, and it's actually the mercy of Krishna and the devotees and Prabhupada that we're actually in that association? What are some things you can do to help remind yourself?
He's asking that we get familiar, and that when we're in association of devotees all the time, it's easy to get familiar and forget how blessed we are by having association with so many wonderful devotees. So what can we do to help us always remember that we're so fortunate to be in the association of devotees? You can hear the scriptures that you read through the Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's books, constantly reminding us of the benefit. Srila Prabhupada always reminds us of the benefit of associating with devotees, the potency of associating with devotees, and the six loving relationships we can develop in association with devotees. We can reveal our minds to the devotees and inquire confidentially how to advance in Krishna consciousness. We can serve the devotees prasadam, they can serve us prasadam. We can give gifts in charity and accept gifts in charity. In this way, these are the six loving exchanges recommended in the Nectar of Instruction by Rupa Goswami, and how we can develop our relationships with the devotees and develop our appreciation for the devotees. So, in trying to serve the devotees as much as possible, assist them in their service. And just see that all the wonderful services always be in recognition of the wonderful services. Overlook any little faults or imperfections that different devotees may have, and rather just see all their good qualities and see the wonderful service they're doing. We should always be seeing like this. And, always analysing ourselves and thinking that, well, these devotees are doing much better service and a much more pure heart than me. They have many more good qualities than me. So it's very helpful to be humble like this. Because if we become proud and think, I'm such a good devotee, I have so many good qualities, then we won't recognize the qualities of the other devotees. We'll think that they're all lesser than me. So we have to, like an advanced devotee, he always sees everyone else as more advanced than himself. Even he's thinking all of the entities in the universe are better situated in Krishna consciousness than himself. That's very elevated. But at least we can see if the devotees are more advanced than ourselves. And be very humble, thinking that I have so many imperfections. I'm full of lust and greed and anger still, even after practicing Krishna consciousness for so long. I need the help of the devotees. I need the association, otherwise I can't advance. Like even I heard Tamal Krishnaraji said that he would never make any decision without consulting with his godbrothers. He always would consider the very great benefit of the association and consultation with his godbrothers, even though he was like one of the big leaders in the movement. So we should always take the advice of the devotees, always serve them and see their wonderful qualities like this, and then we'll appreciate how glorious the devotees are. And just remind ourselves of sadhusanga, sadhusanga, shava shastra koi, that even a moment's association with an advanced devotee can guarantee one all success. So there's so many advanced devotees in this movement. And so we're getting their association every day. We may be a bit familiar, maybe not realizing how much we're getting purified in their association, but this is the verdict of the scriptures. And we're also getting the association of advanced devotees like Srila Prabhupada. He's not presently here in his Vapu form, but he's here in his Vani form, in his instructions, in his deity form, in his movement, in his books. We're getting association with the pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas. So, and without, we have to always remind ourselves, without the association of devotees, it's practically impossible to make advance. And you may go out, you may think, I don't need the devotees, I'll just go and practice Krishna consciousness in my own house. I've got deities in my house. I've got all the books. I've got my japa mala. No, I offer my food to Krishna every day. I'm taking prasadam. But how long can you maintain if you're just doing it by yourself? You never come to the temple, you never associate with devotees, you never serve the devotees. Probably you won't be able to maintain for very long. And someone else had a question? Ladies?
Yes, it occurred to me that to try to give or improve the association of the work to other people, when you try and do something more, you can appreciate it further.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when you give Krishna consciousness to other people, like, you know, giving it to people out there, the conditioned souls, and also trying to give it to devotees, like we help each other, you know, you're giving Krishna consciousness to each other, then you become more appreciated and more inspired by seeing how other people are very enlivened by getting this mercy. Yes.
We are in the world where we have a lot of desires and greed, and how many of us will enter the transcendental world of Krishna?
Well, once you start this path back home, back to Godhead, it's guaranteed that, you know, you're going to go back, whether it's the end of this life or a number of lifetimes. You started your path back home, back to Godhead. There's no looking back now. If you just stick to this path, it's guaranteed. You may not, Krishna says, Suchanam Srimatam Gyanaya Yoga Brashla Vijayate, he says in the 6th chapter that you may even fall away from Krishna consciousness after a short practice of yoga, and that you'll be born in a family of aristocratic people in your next life, rich mercantile people. But if you're not successful in this process of yoga, even after long practice, then you'll be born a family of transcendentalists. Krishna says, verily such birth in this world is very rare. So it's very auspicious, even if you're not 100% successful in this life and you still have some desires, some greed and lust. If you just stick to Krishna consciousness and you leave your body, but you're not completely successful, you get born a family of devotees. Imagine that, from the very conception. You know, you've been conceived in full Krishna consciousness by your parents and brought up in a very loving Krishna conscious atmosphere. How fortunate that is. So once you're in that situation, then probably very quickly you're going to go back to Godhead. So we should try to become very pure hearted as quickly as possible and very sincere, and then we're automatically liberated even before we go back to the spiritual world. We're already on that liberated platform of being fully Krishna conscious. So then the devotee, he leaves it all up to Krishna. Whether Krishna wants to take him back or take him for another life, it doesn't matter, because he's going to get the association of devotees wherever he is in any situation. Like the example of a haymaker, those machines that make hay. No, whether you put the haymaker in hell or heaven, it'll go on making hay. So the devotee, whether he has to go to hell or heaven or the spiritual world, he goes on engaging in Krishna service and associating with Krishna's devotees. Okay, so anything else? Otherwise we'll finish and take prasadam. And we have a book distribution talk at 9:30 in the Chilapapa's rooms if anyone wants to come along if you have the time. And then some of us are going out today downtown in Crossways if anyone wants to come down and try distributing books or even watching or giving out some cards and watching the other devotees distribute books, you can do that. So we'll be there. Basically all day we'll be there. So, and if you can't see us on the street, then we're probably up in the restaurant taking a shot. So you should be able to find us down there somewhere. Shalom Bhagavad Gita. Shalom Bhagavad Gita.